All right, if you turn in your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 3. The first verse says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So, just before I give you the measurements, let me... I don't know that we can establish exactly when this happened during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. There are several ideas. In fact, those ideas are debated. I'll just tell you what I think. Who am I? But I'll tell you what I think. This event probably took place 3 or 4 years early on in Nebuchadnezzar's reign. His goal was to bring the nation together. I shouldn't say the nation. It's really an empire. There are many countries, and so he is wanting to bring the whole thing together. And what he wants to do is to have this great time of worship out on the plain of Dura, outside of Babylon, the city of Babylon, and he's constructed this huge image of gold, a really weird-looking thing. Its height is 60 cubits, or about 90 feet tall, and it's about 9 feet wide. So here in our text, it says 60 cubits and 6 cubits, which kind of brings to mind an interesting number, the number of man, 6. So he's set this up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps. What are the satraps? The satraps are the regional... kings, you might say. There were seven different regions in the empire, and there are a whole bunch of other officials that are there: the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces. And they were invited to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So there's this huge statue out there in Dura. He's, invited all of the officials of his great empire, and this was a large empire at this time, and they're there to, I really think that what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do was to unify people, and he's going to unify them, because this is going to be quite a worship service. A worship service the likes of which they probably had not seen before. The real interesting thing about it is, if you don't worship, you die. Because also constructed here on the plain of Dura, right adjacent to the probably the big platform and the seating area for all of these various officials that have gathered all from all over the Empire of Babylon, it's going to be quite a thing. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to have them worship this strange image. Again, it's 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and so it says the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Now, that's good, you know. You worship the image, but then it goes on to say, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So these people have been called together, probably different nationalities, different religions, you might say, and they're all there on the plain of Dura, and Nebuchadnezzar is telling them they have to worship this huge image. Now, I'm sure that Nebuchadnezzar had the finest music available. I mean, beautiful music. You know, I think we've all been to maybe a large place of worship, maybe you know, a big church or a big cathedral. I was in several cathedrals in Europe, and I remember one experience. It was very moving because they had this big choir, and you know, they had some instruments. I don't think they had as many here. I mean, he's got the best of the best of the best. This is really you know, outstanding, you know, instrumentation, the whole thing, and you know. Of course, that whole thing, if you don't do it, you die. But I think that he had orchestrated such a beautiful worship service. You know, you can be a part of a quote-unquote worship service where the choir is outstanding. The instruments are outstanding. And even if it's not your kind of music, you know deep in your heart that the music is so excellent that you know, you're appreciating it. And you know, people will come out of there and say, "Wow, that was really something," and "I really sensed God." And I'll tell you something. It's interesting that we can have a soulish experience where we worship, but in terms of it really touching our spirit, see, we have a soul and we have a spirit, and the Bible says in Hebrews 4:17 that they are so closely identified that it's only the Word of God that can kind of make that division, and it's only the Word of God that. When we worship, in spirit, and we are worshiping the Lord. And here's the deal: the worship can be so so powerful and so moving that we can have a soulish experience. And, you know, we can ooh and ah over the worship, but we're really not worshiping. It's more of a soulish kind of thing. And I kind of think that, you know, this event was so orchestrated. The music was so beautiful. Everything had been very carefully planned, very carefully rehearsed. And I don't think there was much argument about worshiping. If you didn't know, if you didn't know the Lord, you know, it's like, well, you know, this seems like a pretty good deal. So I don't know that the burning fiery furnace was such a big deal, but it was because there were. Now you need to understand that we're not sure exactly when this was. We don't know if there were a lot of Jewish people there in Babylon, or if there were a smaller group, but definitely in that crowd there were more than just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what happens is, it says, so at the time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So everybody is worshiping. Everybody, that is, except three individuals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're standing up. And, you know, if there were, in fact, Jews that were a part of that great crowd, I'm sure they just thought, well, you know, probably the best deal is just to kind of go along with things. But that wasn't where Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, that wasn't what their faith told them to do. And so they remained standing. So we read in verse 8 that therefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews, then spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, this is our third time to read all these instruments here, the horn, the flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Now the fact that these Chaldeans tell the king that they are Jews probably indicates a little bias, maybe a whole lot of bias on their part. They're certainly jealous of these fellas, and when they see them standing up, boy, they want to let the king know right away, and they're hoping, I think, to watch these guys thrown into this fiery furnace. So Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Now Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Now, you might remember in the preceding chapter where Daniel had explained to Nebuchadnezzar the dream that he had had and told him the significance of the dream, the meaning of the dream. And, Nebuchadnezzar was very impressed. He fell on his face prostrate before Daniel and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Then King answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Now, apparently, Nebuchadnezzar said that, and he was very impressed because Daniel was able to totally give him the entire dream that he had dreamt. But somewhere along the line, Nebuchadnezzar must have decided that part of that was not, he wasn't going to go along with it. And this image that he's built out in the plain of Dura, you know, not just the face was gold. Now you remember this dream that he had had, that King Nebuchadnezzar had, is the thing began with a head of gold. And then his empire gave way to three other empires. And so I think that Nebuchadnezzar is thinking, you know, that's, I'm not going along with that. Babylon's going to live forever. And so that's what this was all about. And this image is completely gold. I don't know that they had you know, it wasn't solid gold. I don't think they can afford solid gold. But as was the case in many instances at that time in the world, they would build an image out of wood, and then that wood would be covered with gold. So where am I here? Okay. So they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the harp, okay, I read that. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. So Nebuchadnezzar commands that they bring him Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he's probably somewhat mellow. He's trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, he says to the three fellows, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, to fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? So that's, you got a couple of those verses twice there. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? He had been exposed to the God of Israel. Now, you know, back then, the feeling was, you know, the strongest God wins. And Nebuchadnezzar seemed to have a great deal of respect. He probably worshipped the Babylonian god Marduk, and they had won all the battles. So, you know, Nebuchadnezzar is thinking, oh, this is the top god. And he kind of says that to these fellows, who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Because after all, I serve the supreme God. At least that's what he thinks at the time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. So these guys, they understood. They understood, first of all, that if God so choose, if it was God's will, God could definitely intervene and rescue them from this fiery furnace. Now, the fiery furnace apparently is right there. It's in close proximity to where all of these you know, events are taking place. The worship of this great image that has been constructed, and you know, they're thinking. Our God is able to deliver us. No question about that. we can be delivered. But they didn't know what, you know, what God was going to do. And they said, he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was full of fury. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed these men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So this fiery furnace, it probably had two openings. It had an opening at the bottom, and it had an opening at the top. And of course, if they've got this thing 7 times hotter than it's ever been before, all of this, burning material is coming out. There are flames and everything else. And these fellows who attempted to throw these guys into the furnace, they were mighty men of valor, but they didn't make it. They were actually killed in their attempt to throw these three men into the fiery furnace. Now, that brings us down to verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors. Now, there's if you read the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, there is a verse in there that tells us that Nebuchadnezzar, they've thrown these fellows in. I mean, you know, the flame is very intense. These guys are gone, and Nebuchadnezzar turned and began to walk away from this furnace. And as he walked away, he heard a hymn being sung. It was actually a psalm being sung. And that's what caused him to turn around and look. And to his astonishment, he saw these, he saw four fellows. It says that he said to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "That's true, O king, that's exactly what we did." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Wow. You know, I'll tell you something. Ever since I've been a little kid, this has been my favorite story. I remember when we would have devotions at home. I wanted to hear that story over and over and over again. And, the faith that these guys had was incredible. Because I'm sure, as I mentioned a moment ago, that there were other Jewish fellas that said, we'll just, for 10 minutes as this worship thing goes on, we'll just kind of fake it and, go along with the crowd. Because if they didn't go along with the crowd, the exact thing that happened to Shadrach and Meshach would happened to them. And they were sure that, Nebuchadnezzar, he was the absolute ruler. He didn't have to ask people for permission. What he said went. So everybody's thinking, I might have some other god from my home territory, but I'm fine with worshiping this big spire, that's what they did, but not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had told the king. They had said, we're not going to worship, They didn't know what was going to happen. They absolutely knew that God was able to deliver them, but they didn't know what God's will was. But God did deliver them. And Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. In other words, there was no detection of a smoky odor. I mean, it was like they had just been having a nice day at the park. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Wow. That's quite an admission for Nebuchadnezzar to say. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So, an interesting story. It's interesting because, I'm sure everybody is thinking, as they see all of the fire and smoke belch out of this great furnace, that, we got to worship. It doesn't matter, what our own opinion is. We've got to worship this big gold thing that's sticking up out of the ground. Otherwise, we're going to be put in that horrible furnace. And I'll tell you, I personally believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't know what to expect when they got there, and when they got there and found out that they were going to have to worship this image, I'm sure they were... I'm sure their blood pressure went up a little bit. But they purposed in their heart, because they were committed, that they would in fact take a stand. And, I'm just thinking, as they're going up those stairs, as they're being dragged up those stairs, and the heat is... terrifyingly hot, so hot that these fellas that carried them up the steps never made it back down alive. And yet, these guys, they were ready to go to heaven. They were ready to die. God had something else in mind. And that was to, first of all, show these guys, show Nebuchadnezzar and the rest of the company of the people that were there, that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God of Israel, our God, was powerful so much so that he could make them impervious to this tremendous flame and heat that was coming from the big furnace that they had set up there. Now, that's the story, and it's a fascinating story. It's a story that really caught the attention of Nebuchadnezzar. We'll see in the next chapter, in the next story in chapter 4, that Nebuchadnezzar did make a commitment to the Lord, but he had to do it the hard way. You know, some people, they wise up and they say, well, I can give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and save myself a lot of hassle. Some people, you know, they know who the Lord is. They know what the Lord can do in their life, but they want to live their own life, and so they hold on and do their thing, and you know, they pay a big price, and sometimes they come to the Lord at the end of all of the things that they try to do. Now, I will mention to you really quickly that this story is a story that points to realities that have not yet taken place, but will one day take place, because the Bible tells us that there is something coming that is called the rapture. And when the rapture happens, the people that are left, the people that don't know the Lord, will be subject to the rule of the Antichrist. But there will be 144,000 Jews who are sealed, and sealed meaning that they will be impervious to the Antichrist's attempt to take them out, to kill them. And during this time, God will use them to win many people to the Lord. Now, the interesting thing is, in our story before us tonight, is where is Daniel? Well, Daniel was, he's not in the story. We don't know exactly where he was. He might have been taking care of some special assignment. He might have been bearing diplomatic notes for the king. We don't know where he was. But we do know that it's kind of a picture. You know, we'll be gone, but we will rejoin the king when he comes back to set up his kingdom. So Daniel chapter 3 is a tremendous story of, three guys that are saying, whatever you do, it doesn't matter. We are going to serve the Lord. And in serving the Lord, we can't worship your image that you've set up out in the desert. And sure enough, they are faithful to what God tells them to do. And, it's a great lesson for us. Because, often we fall into this trap of saying, well, I know what I should do, but if I do it, the boss might get upset, so I'll just kind of go along with the way things are going. And in going along with the way things are going, we are actually asked to make decisions that are ungodly. And we think, well, I'll do it, and then I'll ask God's forgiveness, and everything will be all right. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood for the Lord, and they kept their eyes on the Lord. And because they kept their eyes on the Lord, God blessed them. God blessed them abundantly. So it's a great story for us And it's a great reminder that, the world, the Bible says in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You see, when those guys were carried up that ladder, the Lord was with them. And, Nebuchadnezzar saw the Lord himself. I don't know if these three guys saw the Lord, but Nebuchadnezzar saw this fourth person in the fiery furnace, and it was the Son of God. And, God is always with us. And that's why it's so important to just be obedient to the Lord. And sometimes we need to be obedient when it doesn't look good. And yet God will be faithful. And we rest in his faithfulness. Amen. Father, we thank you for this story. And we pray, Lord, that, Lord, you would help us to always be focused on what you would have us to do. Always be focused on the fact that we are called to serve you, not the gods of this world, not the world itself. And Lord, may we develop in our hearts the faith that allows us to be obedient to you, and to not make those compromises, to not make those shortcuts. Lord, we want to be your people, and we want to be obedient to you and to your will. So would you help us, Lord, in that regard? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and invite you guys to join us in this season of prayer. And as we seek the Lord, I hope everybody seeks the Lord. I hope, you're not just sitting there thinking, well, I hope this gets over soon so I can go home. It will be over, and it'll be over fairly soon. But during this time, I pray that you'll take advantage. And, if you need prayer or if you want to agree with someone in prayer, come on up. There'll be several of us up here. If for some reason you just need to spend some time alone with the Lord here in the sanctuary, go ahead and do that. Let's make this a time where we seek the Lord. And if there is something that you really need to see God do in your life, or you need to see God do it in the life of someone that you love, and you want to pray with someone, come on up and pray, and we'll be here to pray with you.
You have chosen me.
You know, I just want to ask this question real quick. If everybody would just bow their heads for just a moment. Just in case you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never made that commitment to Him, you've never asked Him to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sin, I just want to give you that opportunity tonight to open your heart and let Him do a work in your life. Make Him the Lord of your life. Say, Lord, I'm tired of the battle. I need to let You come in. I need to let You take over my life. If there's anybody here tonight, while our heads are bowed, would you just raise your hand, just in case there's somebody here tonight? Anyone here? Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Father, I pray for my brother that has raised his hand. And I pray that right now, in Jesus' name, he would ask You to be his Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank You that when we do that, there's so many good things that happen in our life. And I pray, Lord, that You would help my brother. He's my brother now, Lord, to follow You completely. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll tell you what, I sense somebody was needing to receive the Lord, and that's why I came up and did that. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to stand. Go ahead and stand. May God invest in all of us that purpose of heart that says, no matter what, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. May we all do that, and may we experience the power of His Spirit. Here's somebody. Somebody's talking back to me. So, you know, may each one of us just have this renewed commitment tonight to serve the Lord and to stand for Him, even when nobody else is standing. God bless you, and we'll be up here for a little bit. I didn't mean to cut the prayer time off. I just wanted to give somebody an opportunity to receive the Lord. So if you still need prayer, come on up. We'll be here. God bless you.